Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
Two SAS men in Arab disguise were caught red-handed with weapons and explosives and remote control detonators. Our very own terrorists. No wonder the Brigadier used tanks to spring them from prison, or the true nature of their undercover operation would have been revealed. If you don't think the British military is capable of this, just remember it was the SAS that trained Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge in exile.
Hello, my name is Arnold. I am the Schwarzenegger.
On September 19, 2005, two British soldiers in wigs and dressed as members of the Shiite Mahdi army fired on Iraqi police, killing one and injuring another. After a car chase, they were arrested and taken into custody. According to Sheikh Hassan al-Zarqani, a spokesman for the Mahdi army, what our police found in their car was very disturbing. Weapons, explosives, and a remote control detonator. But the Brits from the Special Reconnaissance Regiment didn't stay in custody for long. Sources in the Iraqi Interior Ministry said that six Allied tanks were used to smash a wall in police headquarters to rescue the pair. This touched off a riot, causing Iraqis to lob Molotov cocktails at the armored vehicles. You could have heard all about this incident if you scoured the papers, albeit with a heavy pro-British spin. So why do I mention it on a commentary called What They Don't Tell You? Well, first off, most Americans haven't heard about it. Or if they did, the story was overpowered by dissembling and dramatic photos of a flaming soldier jumping from a tank. Rest assured, however, the Iraqis haven't forgotten this story. Many have suspected foreign occupiers of perpetrating quote-unquote insurgent bombings all along. More recently, a somewhat dubious Russian news site, MirrorWorld.ru, reports that a number of Iraqis caught two Americans in Arab dress trying to detonate a car bomb. The Americans were then said to have been whisked away by, quote, Iraqi puppet police, unquote. Given what happened in Basra, does anyone out there still believe that this whole adventure is to give Iraqis their freedom? Some freedom. Freedom to install Western-approved government puppets, but not the sovereignty of incarcerating two men who fire on your elected government's own police force while packing high-tech explosives in their car. Something to think about. I'm Jody Paulson, and I just thought you should know.
When we're spending $60 billion, Lou, it's just being moved out without any real hearing. We need to know there's somebody watching it very, very closely, right? Because if this money's not spent well, it'll be a double tragedy.
Well, we're looking at already just about 50 no-bid contracts, Senator. One of the things that concerns me is this administration's decision to waive the Davis-Bacon Act and not pay prevailing wages. That seems to me to be politically tone-deaf. And frankly, an insensitive and unconscionable decision for the very people who need that money and a prevailing wage in the recovery and the rebuilding efforts.
Well, you know, Davis-Bacon, prevailing wage, I'm not sure what that is. We'll be able to get...
Well, what it means is that waiver, good. Senator, means that people are not going to have to pay that. The contractors, many of them with no bid contracts, aren't going to have to pay the prevailing wage.
They'll pay competitive raise in the region. That's what they'll have to pay. And it's going to be a good time for workers because any worker that's in the construction trade or rebuilding trade are going to have a premium on their salaries. They may make above that rate, really. But, some felt that this federal Davis-Bacon Act didn't need to apply, and the president agreed and went along with that. I would just say that we need to watch that money. We are, in a way, throwing money at this problem. We want to help. My state was hit badly. I saw people that lost everything they had, working class people, poor people. And we need to help them, but it's not helping them if we don't spend the money wisely. If we end up with $100, $200 billion spent and we haven't done it wisely, it would be a tragedy.
Wouldn't you say it'd also be a tragedy, Senator, not to be paying the prevailing wage? That's the only reason with the way Davis-Bacon is if somebody's thinking of not doing that.
Well,
I couldn't agree with you more about your sense of prudence in terms of this money, but at the same time, with no bid contracts and the billions and to worry about dollars or cents per hour for people who really need the money, that doesn't seem quite the American way to me, does it you?
Well, we'll pay... They'll have to pay a competitive wage, and there's no doubt about that, and meet all the other federal laws and regulations. But what I would say to you is we have a mentality right now in the Congress, Lou, in which this thing is hot politically, and the safest thing for us to do is just put so much money out there that nobody can blame us.
All right, well, we'll keep going. Scooter's on the line. Scooter, welcome to the program. Scooter is on the other side of this story. He just got back from Kenner, Louisiana, where he had an interesting kind of revealing visit to the FEMA contractors. Hi, Scooter. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Laura. It's good to have me with you.
Tell us what you found when you went to Kenner. Why did you go?
Well, you know, I would usually be on a road trip doing radio with a microphone, uh-huh. but actually, those of us that work in community radio, we have to have day jobs too, right?
That's right.
So anyway,
I should say Scooter works with KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston.
Independent producer. So anyway, emails were circulating about sign up for this Blue Tarp Project, Blue Roof Project, which is run by FEMA. Okay, and it's the idea is pretty good because when all your shingles have been blown off, and every time it rains, your house gets more and more destroyed. So what FEMA is trying to achieve is that basically just to get a temporary roof on your house to hold you over until you can get your shingles fixed. So they have distributed all this email that you can make all this money working for FEMA and so forth and trying to attract workers from places that are not in the area. You know, I mean, they want to bring people in from out of state. And I didn't really understand that until I got there, you know. And when I got there, I'd realized that we were set up in an encampment where you had to pay all your own gas, you had to bring all your own tools, and essentially most of the people that I talked to had been there for a month, month and a half, and hadn't been paid yet. And when it came down to it, they were working for $3 or $4 an hour.
$3 or $4 an hour? Did we? We were told that we'd suspended prevailing wages when the president announced that that portion of the Davis-Bacon Act was repealed, as it were, suspended for the duration. I didn't know they'd actually repealed the national federal minimum wage laws.
Well, the way it works is it's piecework. You get paid by the square footage that you cover. So that's how they get around that. And they give you this whole blue sky thing. It's a man, you come down here and make a fortune, right? And so people, they show up, and I'm telling you, Laura, I mean, I was in this camp. You could go in there and buy any tool you wanted for like $10. Because all these people wanted was enough gas money to get home. Mm. They've been out there, you know, living in a field, basically been sucked in by this pipe dream, you know, to make all this money. And it was just a very, very despondent situation.
So you said there were people from outside the New Orleans area. Where did they mostly come from?
A lot of people from Florida. Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. And then, as far flung as Chicago. And a lot of folks from Texas and so forth. But they recruit these people to come in. And, of course, once you get there, you're stuck, right? And you have to pay all your own expenses, all your own gas. You have to have your own vehicles. And it was really kind of a vicious situation because by the time, you know, I didn't talk to anybody who had been paid yet, but by the time you do get paid, it goes through about seven, you know, it starts with the Army Corps of Engineers, I think, and goes through FEMA, and then down through about six or seven contractors, and then it's like $1.75 a square feet is what's being paid out, and to the worker, you get 8 cents.
Nathan, for Scooter, if you don't know, Nathan is a displaced pipe fitter who's now in West Virginia. Hearing this story, what's your reaction?
Well, coming from the federal government, it doesn't surprise me.
There's clearly money out there for some people's jobs.
Well, they have over $50 billion set aside. I mean, what are they doing with it?
Good question.
I mean, we need help. We don't need excuses. We don't need red tape. This is an emergency. We need an emergency room procedure here.
Did you see anything that looked at all like that, Scooter, when you were down there?
Well, the thing is that I would have to say that the National Guard was great. They were great. FEMA was awful. The Red Cross was great. You know, I mean, you can get food. You can get water. FEMA is not getting anything done. And like I said, you know, for instance, when you put these tarps on the house, if you didn't, they don't care if you fixed the leak or not, just as long as it looks good. And the FEMA has to be on the outside. If you put the tarp on upside down, they make you tear it off and do it over again. It's a public relief. I don't know.
Don't tell me it's propaganda.
I know, it's worse than I thought. And I'm very cynical.
All right, Scooter, thank you. We'll be right back.
because I don't want to see any more 9/11s. I don't want to see any more 7/7s. That I want to drain that swamp of hatred, of the bitterness, and of the enmity that led to these atrocities. I'm not suggesting we negotiate with Bin Laden. As I said that day when the House of Commons was recalled 4 days after 9/11, I despise Osama Bin Laden. The difference is, I've always despised Osama Bin Laden. I despised him when you were giving him guns and money and support and telling him what he should be doing. It's because I want to negotiate not with Bin Laden or Bin Ladenism. I want to negotiate with those who haven't joined him yet. I want to negotiate with those who might join him tomorrow if we don't drain that swamp of the grievances which are feeding this phenomenon of Islamist, fundamentalist, obscurantist terror. The first thing we have to do, and this is the most important message I have for the United States of America. If you listen to nothing else I say, listen to this. The first reason, the flaw at the heart of the West's policy towards the East, policy towards the Muslim world of countries like America and Britain, the flaw at the heart of that policy is the more than 50 years of injustice that has been visited upon the Palestinian people, paid for by American money and made possible by American political support. You know, every bullet in the back of a child in the Gaza Strip was paid for here by the United States taxpayer. Every rocket that's ever fired into a refugee camp is fired from an Apache helicopter given to General Sharon by the government of the United States of America and paid for by you. You may not know that. Maybe your people don't know that. There's not a single Muslim in the world who doesn't know that every crime committed by General Sharon is paid for by the United States of America. And when the Security Council convenes to condemn it, you can be sure it will be vetoed by the United States of America. Your people might not have noticed it. Every Muslim in the world has it engraved on their heart as the most grotesque injustice and unfairness and unbalanced policy anywhere in the world, followed by any government, is the unending, bottomless support your government gives to every crime committed by Sharon's Israel. And if you don't wake up and smell that particular coffee, I tell you, you will never be done with this great crisis that exists between the West and the East, which exists between your country and mine and the Muslim world, 1,500 million strong. Let me run that number past you again. 1,500 million Muslims in the world, of whom hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions hate us bitterly, of whom tens of millions are ready to support those who wish to hurt us in retaliation for our injustice, of whom probably hundreds of thousands are ready actually to hurt us, to trade their lives for many of ours. So, if there's no justice for the Palestinian people, there will be no peace in the Middle East. We must understand that. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Let's be clear about something. Osama bin Laden has nothing to do with us. Osama bin Laden was invented, armed, financed, and sent to Afghanistan by the United States of America and Great Britain and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Turkey. We won't allow any rewriting of history about this. If you'll permit me to quote myself, on the night before the fall of Kabul, two bin Laden and the Mujahideen, so-called, the fathers of the Taliban, I said to Mrs. Thatcher, though I was the last man standing in the British Parliament saying this, that wasn't the last time that was to happen. I said to Mrs. Thatcher, in the British Parliament, you have opened the gates for the barbarians, and a long dark night will now descend upon the people of Afghanistan. And I never said a truer word. We have to tell the Medveds of the world, whether they want to hear it or not, over and over again, don't try and hang Osama bin Laden round our neck. He was your man, and he went to Afghanistan to do your dirty work, which is one of the many reasons why we say that the attack on Afghanistan after 9/11 was doubly unjust. There were no Afghans on those airplanes that struck the United States. No Afghan ever hurt any American. Most of the Afghans who have been slaughtered since 9/11 don't even know where the United States is. Never heard of Seattle, Washington. Don't know about Boeing and its plant and its anti-union practices. The poorest, most ragged people on the earth were bombarded by the most powerful and richest people on earth. And they did nothing wrong to the United States. Sure, the Taliban and bin Laden were living on their territory because we sent them there and helped them win the war that put them in power. And so, having inflicted these people on the Afghans, we then punished the Afghans for the fact that these people were in charge of them. Now, we are very clear about this. The act of mass murder that took place on 9/11 in New York, took place on 7/7 in London, took place earlier in the railway carriages in Madrid, were criminal acts of mass murder. It is a crime, it is a sin, in any language, in any religion, to punish innocent people for the crimes of guilty people. It's a crime. It's a big crime.
Voted off the island of normality. Voted off the island of conformity. Voted off the island of drones, and damn proud of it too. Voted off the island of a necktie. Voted off the island of a 9-to-5. Voted off the island of the flag, and damn proud of it too. Voted off the island of a mainstream. Voted off the island of the wannabes. Voted off the island of academies. Proud of it too. Voted off the island! Voted off the island! Voted off the island! See ya!
This is WSQT Guerrilla Radio, the SWAT, bringing you an update on the river of sleeves that threatens to overwhelm Washington. You've probably heard of Judith Miller, the Valerie Plame case, where Karl Rove, scumbag of Earth, retaliated against a CIA agent for blowing the whistle on the fact that the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq were all lies. This administration is so dirty, is so crooked, is so dishonest. It makes Bill Clinton look clean, even though Bill Clinton murdered thousands of people with sanctions in Iraq, even though Bill Clinton burned women and children to death at Waco. George Bush burns women and children to death every day. But it is up to you and me, the good people of Earth, to do something about this river of sleaze. To shore up the levees of life, divert this river of sewage through the halls of Congress where it needs to flow, and keep it out of ordinary life. So let me tell you something, this scandal goes right to the top. If we're lucky, the trail of indictments and subpoenas will lead right back to the Oval Office and the Dark Lord Bush himself. It was really funny seeing one of these assholes have to turn himself in Texas on an arrest warrant. I'm sure they didn't put the cuffs on Tom DeLay. I'm sure they didn't kick his ass in the back of the station, pepper spray him, and then taser him, which can set somebody on fire like those two bodies burned in Afghanistan. Yeah, they were real polite to this little dirtbag Tom DeLay. But he still had to be fingerprinted and have his mugshot taken. And there's more where it came from. The indictments are going to go on and on. They're not going to stop. This river of dirt leads right to the Oval Office, and you know it. It's already taken down Tom DeLay. It's going to take down Karl Rove. It's going to take down scum of the earth Bill Cheney. And inshallah, it will take down George Bush himself. This is a time of struggle, a time of chaos in Washington, when a weakened Dark Lord may not even be able to ramrod his latest Supreme Court nominee Mears through when his own party turns against him. When the river of sewage begins to flow backwards, back up the toilet from which it came. Time for the good people of Earth to reclaim this planet, to take it back from Halliburton, to take it back from Bechtel, to take it back from George Bush and his wars based on lies and aggression. Now is the time to stand and be counted. This is WSQT Guerrilla Radio, broadcasting on 93.5 FM from the heart of occupied Washington.
What are they doing?
Playing outlawed tunes on outlawed pipes.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for nonprofit use.